Hello. A little disclaimer about this episode. I do talk about the Coldplay ticket scalpers and I might sound unsympathetic to the people who can't go, but really my beef is with the system. I hope I argue it well. I'm saying if you hate scalpers, I agree with you, but my position is a little different than yours maybe. Get ready to maybe slightly be upset about that. One, and what else? This gets fun after the rant. If you enjoy the rant, you like it. If not, there's other fun observations about stuff I've been watching on my timeline. I just realized this way too late because I'm already in preparation for like traveling and doing other stuff, but in the Patreon, if you go for the lowest tier, it says the only benefits is hugs and handshakes, I think. Which means, you know, just you supporting the work, thank you. But actually, there's more stuff. If you do the lowest tier, you actually get a bunch of, like, videos and some other content as well. I just didn't update the description yet at the time of this recording. So, my apologies. I need to really update that because now Pinball Monkeys Patreon is home for a bunch of different things. Like, it's also the home for this podcast as well as our Pinball Monkeys work. So that's, I understand why that's a little confusing for y'all. But yeah, anyway, if you want to watch the video version of this, go over there where there's more content, you know already. So yeah, no more preamble. Here we go. Podcast episode. Let's go!
One, two, three, four. Open your mind, anything's possible.
It's just some stupid thing.
You gotta say stuff before he says stuff.
I know you're just being silly,
but it's fun.
So, let's talk.
You and me, right now, we're having it out. Let's go.
Ready?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Mental Punch Up Podcast with me, your host, can't even pronounce my own name. Muzaki Zaina. The podcast where I talk about stuff and think about things too deeply and where it doesn't need that much thought. Probably. Today is me alone. Our volunteer 13 is unavailable for this week. And that's just how it goes. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm in JB. Shout out to the people in JB. It's great. It's great to be here. It's such a good time. The drive was great. In the time of this recording, I haven't yet driven, so I don't know how I'm going to feel about the drive. We'll find out. Let's get to the meat of the thing, what I want to talk about, or rather what everybody's talking about this week. Coldplay. Coldplay's tickets are sold out and people are upset. They had to buy a queue, whatever. People are not upset about tickets selling out. Tickets sell out. That's what happens to tickets. That's what happens to products that are limited time. You can't just always buy Coldplay tickets. They're not going to live in the venue. So yeah, people are upset about that. They're upset about scalpers. And I'm seeing people, there's some little minor conversation in my timeline about people saying, hey, scalpers, you know, are bad always. And another person goes, well, some of them are just providing a service where you can buy tickets easier. And I understand people who hate scalpers because it is annoying where you can't buy something and it turns out somebody else has hoarded it and then selling it at a gigantic markup. That feels like a ripoff, right? Because you really want something and then somebody priced it outside of your budget. That's what happened. That's fully what happened. You are upset because you can't afford the tickets. You can't afford the scalping prices. If you can't afford it, you're not going to be upset. That's the thing about like being upset at scalpers. You have to really understand, okay, why am I sounding like I'm on the side of scalpers? Because compared to other things that are ethically, to me, to my understanding of my values, ethically immediately wrong, which is exploitation of labor or exploitation of someone's time or manipulating of someone's feelings or whatever into doing something that is against their own interests or whatever. The harm, quote-unquote harm here, is somebody not being able to afford something they want, right? So how dare this person sell something, put a price on something where before I can't afford it, but now I cannot afford it. But now, the people who are... Okay, I'm going to put that thought in one sort of box, right? So keep that in mind. Now, this person who was saying, no, people who buy tickets are sometimes they're just... It's a purchasing service, which is not wrong also. Like, the system of buying a ticket can be annoying. Buying anything can be annoying, especially a limited time release item, like a ticket for a show. So there are people who do this service or job, which is... to either like stand in line to buy tickets, to go and like to go and buy something, and then make it easily sellable to somebody who wants to, and then they add a markup for the labor, which is laborious to sit down at a queue, get all your devices up and running, and then wait for the right time, and then pay the correct tickets at whatever seat, and then get it. Other people might use this time to do other things. How long does it take to get a Coldplay ticket? It might be between 9 a.m. until 12 p.m. How do I know this exactly? Or very close? Because my sister had to do that to get her one ticket to watch Coldplay live. And that was, 9 to 12. That's 10, 11, 12. That's 3 hours of labor. Your 3 hours might be worth more than sitting in front of a computer and waiting, right? And so you might want to pay an extra 100, 200 so that you can just get the tickets without having to do all that. That is the valid service that people do. This is a real thing. You can pay somebody to buy your groceries for you. That's a service. That's a real service. Now, when people go, okay, now down that one thing, right? Now that's one. So now scalpers. Scalpers are annoyed that they can't afford it. But if they can't afford it, they're not going to get annoyed. Suppose there's a limited edition candy that's only available for one day. And it is jackfruit flavored sugus. And it's signed by, Doja Cat. Right, Doja Cat jackfruit flavored sugus is like, and it's one day only. You're a fan of Doja Cat, and the sugus thing is original price is 4 ringgit, and then you want to buy it, it's out of stock. You search online, somebody's reselling it for 10 ringgit, and it's a collector's item now. But they didn't know it was a collector's item. They had it. They found out people want it, so they're selling it for 10. You have 10 and you can afford it. So are you going to call this person a scalper? Maybe, okay, no. Maybe I change the price. What if it's like $5? From 4 to 5. They're like, I'll take one. Are you going to yell at this person to be a scalper? No, not really, because suddenly you can afford it. Right? So now, this is the thing about like scalping that is squirrely and difficult because to sort of control. And figure out, like, if people are scamming you, meaning they say they're gonna sell tickets but they don't have the tickets, that's a scam. But if they say they have the tickets and they do have the tickets, they're just selling you at a crazy price, you can get upset at them, but what you're upset at is that you can't afford it, not that you are upset at this person is taking advantage. You are supposed to know how to price your item or price what you're selling. Now, this is a different, like, now we are in a different conversation altogether. If you have a product that we have something of your own and then you can sell it at a high value, are you supposed to not do that? Consider that, like, properly, this question. Like, you may, on instinct, or, like, you may come up with a counter-argument, which is, hey, man, you're just a scalper. I care about this band. I live this band. I have tattoo of this band. And they priced it as at this much. I want it at this much. You shouldn't sell that at such a high price. Fuck you. Fuck your mother. You dishonorable motherfucker. Whatever you want to say. But that person has an item that is valued at higher than that because other people are willing to pay for it. This feels like if this person can get more money for the something they can sell, why shouldn't they do that? You get what I mean? Like, yes, it can feel scummy, and it is if your whole deal is scalping. if you are a person who is a scalper, you have multiple machines and you do that and then you do that and then you log in and then you get the tickets and you deliberately sell, like, yo, I got 12 tickets for sale because I got 24 phones and 24 bank accounts or whatever, and I'm selling it to everybody at 5 times the price. Ooh, fuck you. And maybe you have the tickets in your hand and you go to the venue and you're like, hey, I got extra tickets, but you got to sell me, you got to buy it at like 5 times the price. Then yes, this is a person whose job it is to like deliberately over benefit from this item that is a high value. However, this person also is taking a lot of risk for themselves because these tickets are priced pretty highly. They have to pay that capital up front, and then they have to do the work of getting all these accounts together and then buying and staying in 3 hours of their time, that is work day time, they're burning in order to get this, right? So I guess what's going on here is that there is a mismatch of people's understanding, maybe. You know, maybe the people are not like accepting of the fact that market forces are market forces. Like, if you want to get rid of scalpers, the thing you can do to avoid it, the thing you can do to enforce this, you meaning whoever party or person of responsibility is, the kind of action they can take is you can't scalp if you're at the venue, maybe that, and you can't maybe resell it at a certain amount of ceiling price. If you find somebody trying to sell it at a ceiling price, then you go find them and you shut them down. But the venue one is easier to control. The other one is kind of difficult because what? Because you can also sell it. You can also sell it as a bid. Like, you can buy a ticket, and then maybe you buy 2 tickets, and then you find out that in November, the person who you want to go with can't go with you anymore, and you don't have any other people who want to go with you because fucking Coldplay. Come on. I like Coldplay, is the thing. I like Coldplay, and I would go if this was 2006, 2010, maybe even, before Rihanna jumped on. Like, what are you doing? You drop her album like Parachutes, and then you do a track with Rihanna, and then you expect to keep all of your fans, the same fans? No, you're going pop now. You're gonna get all the pop fans, and that's great. Good for you. Go do that. You know, appear as a guest star in Parks and Rec and whatever. But don't expect me to stick around. I'm gonna move to other musicians. But anyway, so you have 2 tickets and one person can't make it in November, right? You want to sell that ticket. You put it on eBay. The bid is gonna go up. It's because it's a bidding thing, right? So people are gonna bid higher and higher and higher. Are you not supposed to accept the highest price there? What's going on? This is part of why, like, the difficulty of enforcing scalpers and blah blah blah, and then you can't really get rid of scalpers. That's what I mean. You can try to get rid of scammers, people who lie to you and tell you they don't have the product, whatever. But that's also difficult to enforce. But to say that, you know, to be very surprised at scalping as a thing that exists is like, you know, like, people, I'm not excusing the behavior of people who scalp. I wish the scalpers don't exist. I wish the prices of a product remain as cheap as they can, because I'm the consumer of the product, duh. But if I'm selling something, I should price high. This is the problem with living in a capital, in a for-profit capitalist system. We're still living in the system. We can't get out of it, right? And so the system benefits people who already have capital. And it is true that if you want to benefit from something monetarily, you need to know how to price it right. You need to know the value of something. The value of something and the price of something are very different things. Extremely different things. And so when there's a mismatch of price and value, people get very upset or they get very exploited. Either way, it's a bad time. I'm not saying this is a good thing. I'm just saying, look at this system for what it is. The introduction of money as a proxy for the value of something will result in problems like this. And I'm not suggesting that in order for Coldplay tickets to always be affordable, we should abolish the system of money. But maybe I am saying it. Maybe that makes the most sense of all. Because, yo. You know what I mean? Critics of anti-capitalist rhetoric would either say that other systems don't work, or that none of these other systems make sense. But I feel I've discussed it in the podcast before. But there's that civilization in South America, before it was called South America. I forget what it was. The Incas, the Mayans. I gotta pull up the episode somewhere. I won't have time to. I apologize for this week. I'll figure out how to communicate to you where to find the sources for this. But it is a civilization that is not capitalistic and is not quite communist, because communism is like the state takes all the labor, gives you the labor, right? The state assigns you a job and then the state gives you your provisions. And this is historically, you know, whoever is in power will exploit it by keeping the fancy toys for themselves and then giving chicken nuggets to everybody else. But this in this system, there's no, I guess it is, there is a communal aspect to it, but it's not. It is kind of state controlled. It's based on food. So like, there's a stockpile of state controlled resources. And if you are able-bodied, you go there and then you get your provisions for the day. But you also have to log what you want to do. So like, I want to do this. I want to go work at the farm for a bit, and then I'm going to go do this for a bit. And then the person in the state will go, okay, that gives you this much extra. And then you take the extra and then you go home and then you do the work, and then that's how you get paid for your thing. And you get a basic like provision to survive. If you don't want to do anything, you just get whatever surplus that everybody else is doing, because everybody else will do, and they will do a surplus. I think that's how it works. I really need to figure out how to look up the sources for that. Of course, that system wholesale is not going to work. But now, you know, with the system that we have, which is a very small percentage of people hold all the like money and whatever. The system of money is fine as a proxy for value, sure. But like, what the stopgaps we need is to create a maximum limit of economy. So like, here's example. If this is why like I love that I learned video games, because people who don't study video game mechanics will not understand this. But the moment you have you build a game and you have an economy, which means resources you need to manage, no matter what the resources is, food, in fighting games the resource is your time, or the amount of moves you have, your HP, right? Whatever resources, you have to manage your resources. All these resources have to have limits so that you can know how to manage them. The moment you change one limit to become an infinity, everything breaks. The game isn't fun anymore, and the game is okay when you do that and everything breaks. The game can be fun if it's single player, but when you do multiplayer and you change the resources to become infinite, you fuck up the economy immediately. This has been proven true in MMORPGs like what is it called, EVE Online. I don't think World of Warcraft has this, but EVE Online had this problem. They broke the economy and whatever. If you create a multiplayer game and then you make one resource usable, but that resource is infinite, it fucks everything up. If you play a single player game and you earn like 999 rupees in Zelda, you cannot earn any more. It just caps it off. You can't earn any more rupees, because what are you going to do with it? You're going to start doing bullshit. Every time you get too much of something, you're going to do bullshit with it. And the problem with money is that everybody needs it now in our system, right? So if you have billions upon billions upon billions, you're going to end up buying a bird app you like and then making people pay to get verified like an idiot. So that's a problem. So the it's easily solvable. You make easily. Systematically, like mechanics-wise, it's easy to solve. After a certain amount, of money, you get taxed higher and higher and higher, and make the taxes super enforceable, and make everybody all globally agree to the rate of tax. Meaning, no, not rate of tax. Meaning, globally agree with where wealth comes from, what, and then respect whoever earns what. I don't know. It's a little difficult because international rules or whatever, you need to handshake with everybody in the world. That's a problem. But in a particular state, in the state's economy, that's easy to do. Mechanically, I mean. Not actually, not practically. Practically hard to do, we know, because wars have been fought over this. But historically, what needs to happen next is a revolution. We're waiting for that. I'll be there. I'll be watching you, and I hope you'll be there. So, yeah, what am I saying? Because of this problem of money being tied to being a proxy for value, that's why people are very upset at scalpers, because it is assumed, because everybody believes in the religion of money, it is assumed that the money you earn should be consummate with the effort you put in. Because how much money you earn is a measure of how hard you work. It is a myth that we all sort of believe in, because we see the carvings of the wall. We see these giant, you know, effigies and temples to capital, which is our malls and our quote-unquote heroes, which are who? The billionaires and the millionaires or whatever, whatever. We want to find out what they say. You want to see what they think. They may be smarter than us because they're working harder. No, they're not. They just got money accidentally. And because of the system of capitalism, when you have capital, it just rolls. Keep going. The people who get free stuff are usually the people who don't need it. The people who have more money are the people who can afford not to have it. It is unfortunate that we're here, but that's where we are now. So when you're upset at copay tickets being sold at scalper levels, what you are actually upset at is the system of capital. So just be aware of that. And if you don't care at all about copay tickets being scalped, what you can take away from this is that money is not a measure of your worth or your value. When you earn a lot, what should happen next is, what do you do with your money? Are you helping the people you love? Are you making yourself a more balanced person? Are you donating it to charity? Are you putting it into resources back to your community? Are you giving back to your family? Are you being a nice person? Are you becoming a better son, partner, whatever, whatever? If you're not, then you're just earning money, just playing the game and getting more points, and that's really all it is. So yeah, that's that. Let's see, what else do I talk about here? Do I want to get into another topic that can be kind of annoying, or do I? I have another, like, I don't want to get into another one that's like a little too serious. Let's talk to some silly stuff. All right. I think it's time to like accept that, or maybe like codify the idea that this podcast has two sections usually. The silly bullshit and then the semi-serious. Just now was the serious bit, and now let's talk about some silly things. I opened up Disney Plus recently.
We are proud to interrupt this rambling nonsense to bring you an important message from our sponsors.
Hello, dear listener. Do you know about patreon.com/pinballmonkeys? I mean, you know about it. I talk about it every episode. But did you know that that's one of the only ways to support this podcast? This podcast costs resources, time and money, and also it costs a lot of energy. And as low as $5 a month, you can go over at Patreon and support this podcast. Just go to patreon.com/pinballmonkeys and do the little details over there. And as low as $5 a month, you get to enjoy video versions of this podcast, including extra content. You get to find out where Anwar has been hanging out, what he's been doing. You get to listen to cool audio sketches and behind the scenes content. And you can participate in a direct conversation about the future of Pinball Monkeys and the other projects that are related to Mental Pecah. So I think that's cool. You know, also you get to support art directly. Usually, you know, you give gigantic corporations this money, but why not support stuff directly? Support your local thing. Be part of the community. Thank you so much for the people who have already participated and pledged their hard-earned cash to this enterprise. These people are, of course, Aisha, Sarah Roger, Faza Fauzi, Arina, Amanda, Anwar, Nick Hanis, Daniel Imran, Alia, Sabrina, Mayamin, Safri, Zan Belik, Nick Dorville, Farid Zahir, Ilisar, Virus, Siti Fatima, and Lukman Alias. If you want me to shout out your name in this ad break read thing, go over on Patreon and give us a little pledgy pledge. You can cancel anytime as well. I know times are tough, but that's why I'm doing this, because I I need legal fees. Thank you for your support. That's all.
Thank you for your kind attention. Now, despite popular demand, we return to the podcast.
Disney Plus Hotstar, which is what we have in Malaysia. I remember complaining about it because it looks bad. It looks jank. It really looks like a first draft of a website. If somebody says, hey, make a catalog for people who can like buy DVDs, and then they're like, oh, by the way, this is streaming now, I guess. And then they just didn't change the UI. It really looks like that. It just looks like a catalog of hard to parse and hard to tell what you're looking at, because it's like too much and too mixed together. Like, you see Ant-Man next to a Hindi movie, next to a Korean movie, and you're like, what's going on here? You know? Compared to Netflix, they're like very clean. Like, okay, this whole row is action, this whole row is top 10, this whole row is whatever, and the background is a giant poster for what we're trying to promote to you this day, what we think you like. It's cleaner. With Disney Plus Hotstar, is a lot of cruft and a blah, blah, blah. But that's how I remember it. I also remember it as having, I rant about it and being annoyed about it. So I remember it not being fun to navigate, but the content being good. So I was going in, logging in, and what I see is now it's asking me for my username and a profile picture, which it didn't used to do. Used to be, it just asked me if I'm logged out, it will ask me, hey, what's your phone number? And then we give you a code and then you go in. It's very like jank. Yeah, like not janky. It's like backroom deal kind of thing. Hey, give me your phone number. I'll take care of it. It's like buying drugs or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Hey, don't give me your name. Just give me your number and I'll send you something. And shut up about it. Don't worry about it. You gonna come back next week? Next week we got that WandaVision next week. You want the WandaVision? All right, cool. I got your number. Don't call me. I'll call you. Like that, right? It's very like shady uncle selling fireworks. He sells fireworks and pirate DVDs and I don't know, other mysterious stuff. You hear people playing mahjong in the back. That's how it used to ask for login, but now it's like asking me stuff. It's like, hey, what's your name? Sorry, what? I'm just here to get my Marvel. I don't know. No, but what's your name though? I feel like we need to get to know each other. Like, what the fuck is this? It's the same book. Before this, the transaction was such an impersonal sort of, yeah, okay, all right, I'll go home. Like, the guy is wearing a trench coat and a fake, like a wig that's like too ridiculous for his head. And then it's like, yeah, give me your number, I'm done. But now it's like, you nama siapa? What kind of picture do you like? You want to use as your face? Is it this character from Disney? Well, what's going on? Can you give me your email? I don't know what your email is. Just give me your email, bro. No, I just want to check if Quantumania is out. Yeah, I know. So would you like to watch the 18 and above stuff? Or do you want to parental lock on your... Yo, you just had my phone. Last time, I can't even tell you what my name is. And now you're asking me my business all of a sudden? And of course, you know why. Once I log in and then the UI completely changes now. It's closer to Disney Plus now, the UI. It's cleaner, so I like that. Shout out to Disney Plus for doing that. It's just that there's a transition between the DVD uncle and suddenly having a reputation asking for my name. It's very odd. Yeah. No, don't save my name under whatever, man. My name is my phone number. How about that? Do not save your dealer's name in your phone as their name, idiot. Save it as a leaf emoji? Are you out of your mind? Stop. Okay. Speaking of streaming services, right? Lionsgate. I found out recently about Lionsgate because it was in my feed and it was promoting Rami. And Rami is a show I've always wanted to like get on. But I forgot about it because I couldn't find it legally. And then Lionsgate was like, Lionsgate, go check out Rami. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. It comes with your new Unify TV account. All right, cool. I have a Unify TV account. I don't know why. I'm just going to log in. And Lionsgate, first of all, when people say Prime Video and Netflix, you kind of get it, right? Like, Netflix is online and you watch streaming. It's like YouTube, but movies and shit. And cool. And Netflix originals have given it some sort of, like, prestige. Like, you know Orange is the New Black. You know of the early Marvel stuff. You know about House of Cards, Sweet Tooth, Squid Game, all this cool stuff, right? But then, okay, and then Prime Video came out. You're like, Prime? Okay, Prime is also online. I guess I get it. You know, it's like a big deal that Prime also wants to get in on the streaming video. Okay, they sell movies and DVD already. They maybe want to do streaming. Yeah, sure. Okay, cool. And a little bit later, Disney Plus comes in. Oh, yeah, Disney. Sure. Yeah, of course. Oh, all the Disney stuff in one place? Great. Amazing. I'm in. Right? Okay, cool. Who's Lionsgate? Who the fuck is Lionsgate? Who do Lionsgate think they are? Who does Lionsgate think they are? Lionsgate? Who the fuck? Nobody says, hey, man, let's go watch Lionsgate. Heh? Your logo doesn't have a lion or a gate on it. What is your icon here? What are you known for? I was, while writing the notes for this pod, I was seeing what they own, and they own the John Wick franchise, the Hunger Games, and some other action-y stuff. And I'm like, okay, what? What are you going to serve me? And then I opened Lionsgate to watch Rami, but then there's other stuff on there. And you know how Disney Plus will have like, hey, here's your Star Wars part, here's the Marvel part, here's the Disney part, and you immediately remember all your great nostalgic memories of all these gigantic, you know, media leviathans. We turn on Netflix, same. You're like, oh, hey, Queen's Gambit. Oh, hey, this thing. Because the marketing machine is powerful and you see billboards everywhere. Have you ever seen a Lionsgate billboard? No. So when I open the Lionsgate thing, the first row is not like action or animation or whatever. The first row is the different characters from John Wick. Like, that's how much they're gonna sell me on John Wick. Hey, we have John Wick. Can you wanna watch all of them? Who is here? I don't doubt that it's there, Lionsgate. I'm just surprised that you think you're worth whatever subscription that you're probably gonna ask me for once my free trial runs out. What are you doing, Lionsgate? Trying to get into the game? You're fighting Amazon, Netflix, and Disney with Lionsgate. What do you have? Let me check again. What does Lionsgate actually have? Like, what stuff do you have? Tell me. Okay, here we go. Lionsgate, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm trying to find what it owns. Here we go. Lionsgate Films, Rambo, Hunger Games, Saw, Blair Witch, Twilight. Come on, man. What are you doing? The hell are you doing? Lionsgate, shut the fuck up. There's also Lionsgate Television. Let's see what Lionsgate Television owns. Yeah, not a lot. Just a bunch of weird things. Netflix has made video on demand seem memang betul pun profitable and exciting. Like when they said all episodes available May whatever, and the whole binge watching phenomenon, which used to only exist back in DVDs, if you remember what DVDs are. So they invented binge watching kind of, and they or popularized it, and they have shown that you can get a high valuation, your company can grow pretty big and be pretty profitable in using the subscription model. But it's only doing amazing. Like, Netflix is only doing great. They're not growing year by year, and so that is seen as a failure by these giant corporate lizards. But you know, Disney's coming in, throwing their hat into the fray. Amazon Prime has been doing it for longer. And then Lionsgate. What are you doing? Lionsgate is like The Undertaker versus The Rock versus John Cena. And then Lionsgate comes in and it's, I don't know, it's your uncle. Your literal uncle is there also. What? What are you doing? You're Lionsgate Films. Sit down and just make movies and license them out to these people. Don't fucking do this nonsense. You also want to go streaming? Stop it. Stop embarrassing yourself, is what I'm saying. You can't fight with the big boys like that, yo. It's like you want to open a stop, you want to open a shop, and you immediately go against McDonald's by saying, yeah, we also have Big Mac. But then you only have the Big Mac. Like, that's it. You can only copy the Big Mac. You call it the Big Snack. And then when people go to the menu, it's just different, like, it's just the different elements of the Big Snack that's on the menu. Like, buns. You like buns? Hell yeah. The Big Snack has buns. Bread. You like bread? It's what the buns are made of. Like a whole different page, a whole page for sesame seeds. Come on, man. Know your role and shut your mouth. That's what I mean. Okay. One more silly stuff. Couple more. Yeah, a couple more. I've been watching, or rather, this guy has been appearing in my feeds. This dude is a white guy. I don't know his name because I can't pronounce it. Because this content is entirely in Chinese. I don't know what kind of Chinese, but it is Chinese enough for me to have no idea what he's talking about. His deal, though, is he eats. He's a mukbang guy, and a little ASMR type mukbang guy, person. And I like that he eats stuff that is vaguely identifiable, but kind of not. I'm gonna pull him up, see if I can show y'all a clip of him eating. Maybe not show you, but like maybe you can listen to him and get a vibe for what this guy's about. Here you go. 随机抽取幸运观众惨惨的夜宵搞起来。今天是咱们还是粉丝点啊，大耳哥好久没看你吃夜宵了，夜宵啊，那必须偷吃才行。So this guy's white, and is like very obviously white. White is not ambiguously. He's not, you know, not anything other than white. But if it could have fooled me, did it fool you? I didn't tell you he was white. But you heard him and you assume he wasn't, right? So all the comments... So his name is in Chinese characters. His captions are in Chinese characters. Maybe only his description of his bio isn't. But I'm not even sure about that. All of his comments are just English speakers going, yo, bro forgot to log off his VPN. Bro spawned in the wrong server and whatever. I'll just, you know. There's one who says, yo, what is blood talking about? And then another video, he goes, what is blood talking about now? One comment with thousands of likes is, that's what I'm saying, man. I wonder what part of Douyin / TikTok that who gets where. Like, okay, he's making this content surely. He's making this content surely for Chinese audience, right? A Chinese speaking audience. Because he eats Chinese food. Very clear that all the food is Chinese. Just on site alone, I think. On site, there's too many sesame seeds and like a lot of like parts of the animal you usually throw away. But also, you know, he speaks Chinese and he's clearly is in China, and the person who serves him or whatever, they're all in Chinese, speak to him in Chinese. So yes, he's making content for Chinese people, but it's being served to English audiences anyway. Or am I seeing the comments that are only from the English people putting English language comments? I don't know, because the nature of the algo is that they don't tell you, they have no reason to tell you what they are serving to you in what order necessarily, right? So when he opens his app, does he only get Chinese comments on the top of the thing? Is he not even on TikTok primarily? Is he just like, is TikTok the secondary one? His stuff is on Baidu or like Weibo or wherever it is, and he's just mirroring the content on TikTok? I don't know what's happening, because on the surface it looks like he's delivering Chinese language content to a Chinese audience, and then only white English people, only English language speakers are responding. That's insane. That sounds really funny to me. That's like if I only speak. That's like if you, listener, are, you don't speak the language at all, but that you're still listening and you're like, oh, this is confusing. Why is this guy? Yeah, so that's not the part that like sticks to my head as much. It is also it's also like, if he just eats and talks, he won't be that interesting to me. I'll stop the conversation. I'll stop my thought process about him right there, and then I won't even talk about it. But the thing that makes him stick in my head is whatever he eats is always like savory stuff. Sometimes it's sweet stuff actually. Whatever he eats, sometimes in the middle, he'll take a garlic break. So like, he'll eat a thing, chewy chew chew, oh, enjoying it, chew chew chew, enjoying it, and then he'll take a clove of garlic, bite it, and then go back to eating. He will never mention the garlic. He won't show the garlic. Every other food he'll show you to the camera, he'll show you to the camera, but the garlic he doesn't. He takes the garlic and just eats it like you would. Like you would drink water in the middle of eating a lot of food. Like, he doesn't even mention it. And some of you are thinking, oh, maybe is you know, he wants raw garlic. Sometimes food is served with raw garlic. Yeah, okay, all right. Okay, all right, sure. He also, periodically, in the middle of the of eating a bunch of shit, take an onion break, a red onion. It's a red onion. It's Chinese red onion. Takes it and bites it like an apple. So, like, he'll eat a satay or, like, a shrimp or whatever. And then, okay, time for onion break. He doesn't say that. He'll just, oh, man, that's good. And then he'll take onion and then bite the onion and then go back to eating whatever pig earlobes that he was enjoying. And bro doesn't even explain the onion and the garlic thing. And I'm like, why? What is this? Who? What? I've heard of the term. I know what a palate cleanser is. It cleanses your palate. But like, you cleanse your palate with garlic, bro? What is... I've never, while eating anything, thought like, I think my mouth should stink more. Like, that's never been my thought. He's eating it. He's like, this is missing something. Right. A raw onion. A little bit. That will really make the food sing. Insane. Does this guy carry raw onion and garlic in his pocket in case he will happen upon a snack? Like, I wonder if he's in the movies eating popcorn and in the middle of the movie he's like, wow, this movie is great. Man, this popcorn is good too. What is this? Caramel? Nice. And then he finishes chewing a popcorn, pulls out garlic, and then just bite into it and like, So anyway, do you like Fast and Furious? The fucking... And nobody talks about the garlic. People are just, oh wow, white people speaking Chinese. People can speak whatever language they want. I want an explanation about why this garlic is being used as a mouth freshener in the middle. Maybe he lives in a very specific part of China where instead of toothpicks, they give you an onion. Like, that's the level of... I don't even know, man. Okay, so you know, like, in some Indian restaurants, after you eat, they have like fennel seeds or something near the cashier counter. You can take it, chew it, so that it freshens your breath. And those seeds are fragrant, and you do smell nicer afterwards. It's not that. It's garlic and a red onion. What's going on with this guy? I can't reach him, because if I comment, I'll just get drowned in a sea of hundreds of people going, oh, bro, spawned in the wrong server. Oh, man, bro forgot to, like, change the language settings on his phone. Hey, yo! He just ate a garlic in the middle of his fucking Sichuan noodles. What's going on? Maybe I should try it. Maybe when I get invited somewhere, I'll just bring an onion and then put it on the table. People are like, what's that for? Oh, you know, just a palate cleanser. When there's an onion in my raw onion with satay, also, it's like, it's in slices, right? It's chopped up, neatly presented. And you know it's supposed to like spice up your rice cake, your nasi impit, and then you dip it in the satay, and it's like a nice little whatever. But you don't put a whole onion in there, like eating it like an apple. What's going on? It's the part of China where kids bring onions to school instead of apples. An onion a day keeps the ginseng guy away. I don't. I'll get to the bottom of this eventually and report back to y'all. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Mental Pitch Up Podcast. If you want to listen to an extended version of this, or which is available as part of the video version over at patreon.com/pinballmonkeys, you can go over there and do that, where I talk a lot about what I spent this week playing, which is Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. I am fully inside of the game. It lives in my brain. But I talk more about my history with the game and a little bit about why 13 is unavailable this week. So yeah, go over to Patreon to check that out, and you can support the Patreon for as low as 5 ringgit a month to keep this show going. Thank you, thank you. I love you. I love you. Be kind. Love each other. And you will hear from me next week. I'll see you next week. Okay, bye.